Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Amen. I believe that the word of God for us today is both very timely but also very difficult. In the second reading, we heard from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, which could as well be to our church, saying, "Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." Indeed, how can we move towards being more united after the last few months that have been so divisive? How can we mend some of the relationships that were either broken or that were pushed to the brink of being broken because of political differences, because of things that were said maybe in the heat of the moment? What do we do now after all the things that we wrote on Facebook and we cannot unwrite? So I want to dedicate this reflection to thinking about how do we heal those wounds that were open? How can we move into the future? How can we reestablish some of those relationships? What guidance the Word of God gives us in order to do that? I think that the first thing that we need to do is to acknowledge that there are some relationships that are virtual only. They are real only in the internet. And it is okay to unfriend people that are toxic and that harm you. It might be entertaining to engage in conversations sometimes online, but be good to yourself. So that's there. But there are relationships that matter to us, right? There are people that are our children. There are people that are our relatives. There are people that are our friends. And we have such different opinions on things. We have such different ways of seeing the world. So how can then we go back to mending our relationships? I think that it is important that we remember a saying, I think it was Pascal, that said that the heart has reasons that reason knows nothing about. Now, relationships are built, first of all, from the heart. So what unites us to those that are close to us, to those that are our friends, to those that are our relatives, are bonds of affection before common reasons or common ideology. And we need to remember that. I think that we need to remember that when you were sick, it was not Hillary or Bernie or Obama or Trump that went to see you in the hospital. It was your friend, the same one that you fight with so much, or your relative, the one that came to see you. When you needed a hand, it was that hand that reached out to you to help you. And I think that it is also telling that brain scientists are telling us now that there are regions in the brain, there are circuits in the brain that are dedicated to rational thinking, and there are other regions that are dedicated to affection, to love. I mean, they work together, but they're not the same. And so you don't need to be able to agree rationally with somebody in order to feel bonds of affection with that person. So I think that it is important that we remember that our relationships are based on love, are based on mutual love. That is for those that are closer to us. Now, what about for those that are not that close to us, but still we need to be in relation to? We need to relate to, particularly in the church. I want to read again this text from Paul because he gives us a key. Paul says, "I appeal to you that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you." And here's the key. "But that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose." Now, what does Paul mean by the same mind? It kind of like the first reading sounds like we all need to think alike. Like we all need to agree on everything. But that is not what he's saying. We need to go somewhere else. I don't know if you have your phones or your computers or your Bibles. But you can look another letter that Paul wrote. That's what I'm doing now, not checking my Facebook account. You can go to the letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, the second chapter. And writing to the Philippians, he uses the same concept of being of the same mind, but he elaborates it a little more. He explains what he means by that. I'm going to read from it because it's important. This is what he says. He says, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. And now he explains it. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So what Paul is telling us here is that to have the same mind means that we participate in the mind of Christ, that we allow Christ's mind to be our mind, that we follow the lead of Christ. And in following the lead of Christ, what he's calling us to do is to put the other first, is to be able to reach out to the other in love. Now, love is not the same as what I was talking at the beginning, bonds of affection. Love is simply the willingness to see the other one thrive, to see the other one, to wish the best for the other one. Now, a difference is that the bonds of affection are sometimes reciprocal. So they are fed by people loving you back. But that is not the case with love. Love, in a sense, goes in one direction, at least Christian love. You love because you are loving. Now, there's a very interesting children's story about this. There's a story of a man that was very kind and was walking by a lake. And then he saw that there was a scorpion that was drowning in the water. And now he felt compassion for the scorpion and wanted to help the scorpion and look around and didn't see any branch or anything to help the scorpion. All he had was his hand. So he decided to go to the water and rescue the scorpion. Now as he reached out for the scorpion, guess what happened? The scorpion bit him. And so he retrieved his hand. But he was a kind man and he really felt compassion for the scorpion. So he kept doing this and this kept happening over and over and over. It's a story. Yeah, over and over. And then somebody walked by and said, are you crazy? What are you doing? Don't you know that the scorpion is like attacking you? Defend yourself. And the person said, well, I don't blame the scorpion because that is the nature of the scorpion. The nature of the scorpion is to defend itself. But my nature is to want to help. And so I'm helping because that is who I am. So you see, when we deal with people that are very different from us and people that might not even like us, we can still love the other because love is not a reflection of my relationship with the other, but it's really a reflection of our nature, of who we are as children of God. So we love the other not because the other is lovable. We love the other because we are loving. But that comes from our relationship to God. Because is that not what God has done to us? I mean, as Lutherans, we believe that God does not love us because we are so lovable. We do not believe that Jesus decided to die for us because we were so cool. We believe that we were, even when we were still deaf because of our sins, God loved us and sent Jesus to die for us. So you see, God does not love like. God loves different. God loved us even though we were so different. God is holy and we're unholy, and still God sent Jesus to die for us. And that is the foundation of our love for others. That is what allows us to love others as well. We might have to avoid them a little bit. We might have to unfriend them too, but we can still love because that is what God has put in our heart. Now within the church, Paul says, be of the same mind and of the same purpose. So in the church, we're united by a common purpose. And what is the purpose that unites us? Well, we just heard the story from the gospel of how Jesus invited Peter and his brother to follow him. And he said, I will make you fish for people. Now, in the Bible, there are things that are very symbolic. The sea is one of them. Danger comes from the sea. Monsters live in the sea. Everything that is dangerous is in the sea. Salvation comes from the wilderness. People are saved in the desert. People go to receive the Spirit in the desert, and they come, and they make a difference. So this idea is that he is inviting his disciples to rescue people from evil, to rescue people from the sea, to rescue people from all that is bad. And I think that that is the essence of the purpose of the church. We have been called to do God's work. It is God's work, but it is our hands. We are called to go into the world and to do what has been done to us. We are called to go into the world and throw nets of kindness to people that are starving, literally, and give them food. We are called to go into the world and help those that are suffering with a word of kindness. We are called to go into the world and talk to those that are suffering of low self-esteem, of depression, that do not understand that they are beautiful creatures of God and that nothing can separate them from the love of God. So we are called to go into the world to follow Jesus and to throw those nets. Now, if you look very carefully at the followers of Jesus, if you look very carefully at the disciples of Jesus, you will see that without Jesus, there's no way they would have hanged together, even for a cup of coffee, if they drank coffee back then. I don't know. But there were tax collectors, there were fishermen, there were some revolutionaries like Judas, and yet they were able to coexist. They were able to come together. And even though every now and then they would fight about who would be first and who would be next, but they were still able to be a community because they were united by their common love to Christ. When they're united to Christ, they're united to each other, and they're united in a common purpose. So I believe that that is the secret for unity, even in times that are so divisive, even after rhetoric that was so toxic and so hurtful. I think that we do not have to set aside those things that make us different. We do not need to set aside those values, but we do need to be clear on what is it that unites us and what is that common mind that we have, the mind of Christ, and that common purpose that we have. So I finish the way that I began, with the words of the Apostle Paul. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among us, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. Amen. Thank you.